best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is got. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another DFS Army Bold Call Fantasy Football Podcast. That's right, we're keeping fantasy football going year-round. There is no end. It keeps going. And today we're going to take a look at emerging stars for your fantasy football team. These are guys that are either you're not used to seeing them in the top 20 in your drafts in general, a lot of these guys. And some of them are breakout stars from this year, and some of them are going to be some names that we think should be drafted high and will break out next year. So basically young stars in the NFL, fantasy football stars. And on the flip side, we're going to take a look at maybe some aging names that we might want to consider staying away from next year. Again, we are still in the midst of the 2020 season. It's 2021, but we're still in the midst. And some of these disappointments are fresh in our minds. So it's a great time to take a look at both stars that emerged this season. Cez and I are going to try to figure out, are these real breakouts or are these, flashes in the pan?
So yeah, I think a good way to say it, another way to say it is a changing of the guard in the beginning of your fantasy football drafts. And there's a thirst for fantasy football content all year round now. I mean, that's why redraft players are flocking to Dynasty. People want to, in addition to the rookies, which we'll get into some of our rookie breakdowns and, in a few weeks or so. I've already started doing like a Dynasty startup draft, and I know the ADP is going to be a little bit different than redraft ADP, and we're going to talk about redraft and best ball and all that kind of stuff, but there really truly is a changing of the guard in the first 24, 36 picks. You're not seeing some of the traditional names there, and you're seeing people wise up to looking forward, whereas in the past, many of your league mates have gone on name value, and I'm sure we just don't want you to fall into any of those traps.
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to see some names. Again, it's hard because we've watched certain players for so many years be stars, and it's really hard to accept that they've tailed off, and we're going to talk about some of those guys. And again, on the flip side, there are these players that we see breaking out. Like, our eyes are telling us this guy is great, but yet, we don't associate them with a first or second round pick, with the top 10 at their position group pick. So we're going to take a look at a lot of that stuff and try to get a full feel. And again, with me as always, and I didn't intro you before, my man, season long says the fantasy football encyclopedia himself, be with us all off season. One of my favorite things says that you do is just your evaluation of young players coming in. So ahead of that NFL draft this year and coming out of it, and for Dynasty Rookie, really, really one of my favorite things that you do. Cez is like really plugged into these guys before they get to the NFL, and that's key. I don't watch until they're playing for the NFL and I got my money riding on them. I don't really watch them too much. So that's a great resource we have here. So let's get started with some breakout players that we might see, that we expect to see, and we should see in the top 12 of their position group. We're going to start at wide receiver a little bit here, Cez. So give me a name that really wasn't on the radar of a top 12 pick going into the season that now you go, something, man, I'm not just excited about this guy in the top 12. He's a top five guy, type six. Like, I wasn't even thinking about this guy. Give me a name that's on your list that has moved all the way up into the top six. I think there's some obvious ones.
Yeah, I think when the way you describe it, there's only one name that could be there at the top of the heap, and that's Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson wasn't even drafted in redraft league last year, and if he was, it was very late. He was a week two pickup. He wasn't even a week one pickup, and then he finished the season as the wide receiver five or the wide receiver six, somewhere in there. And I guess the question is, are you willing to make a player like that your first round pick? A couple of the early mocks I saw have him in the middle of the second round. I mean, I understand why. I'm always cautious on these guys that have broken out for 1 year, but let's start with him, Justin Jefferson. do you see him as being a player that is a top five wide receiver? Like, where do you square him up against someone who's got a long track record like DeAndre Hopkins, for example?
Yeah, I don't think I could take him in the top five or six wide receiver group, to be clear. I think he's a top 12, so a WR1 play for me. I think WR1 will be fully off the board by the end of the second round. So if for me, I don't want to officially rank, but he'd be between probably 7 and 10 for me in that range at the wide receiver group this year.
Let's go through it for a second. All right, we all agree, for better or for worse, Davante Adams should be the first wide receiver taken in most drafts next year, right?
Without question. You can't. Right. By the way, just to understand the superpower of Davante Adams, I talked about it during last week's playoff game. No wide receiver comes anywhere near, and I'm not talking about, he's just a little bit ahead. No one comes near his role in the red zone. He has more targets inside the 10-yard line than any two other wide receivers combined, maybe three. That's the superpower of Davante. He is a touchdown machine. No one can touch him.
Yeah, let's stay to the topic here. So you have Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, right? Definitely going before him.
Yes.
At that point, you know, DK Metcalf it was like a tale of two seasons, like started the year on fire, tailed off, you know, with the change in offensive philosophy, still, you know, reasonably in the top five. So that's three players. Then you have Stephon Diggs should be locked into the top four.
I just want to be clear. I would have Diggs ahead of DK Metcalf.
Sure. No problem. No problem there. But now you're talking about the fifth wide receiver. So Michael DeAndre Thomas, no way. We're pushing him down. DeAndre Hopkins is a reasonable, but then now you're in that bucket. Where it's AJ Brown, where it's Justin Jefferson. I think that is the true next tier. CeeDee Lamb, if you feel like he's ready to take the with Dak back. But yeah, no, I see you shaking your head. No, for
not
those listening.
No,
but that's fine. So just by spitballing this a little bit, it sounds like Justin Jefferson is going to be your wide receiver six.
Well, you found the perfect area. And that's why I said between 6 and 10, because I can make an argument here, and this is where we can have like discussion. I can make a Michael Thomas argument. I get that he had the zero last week, blah, blah, blah. Guy has all kinds of torn ligaments and high ankle sprain like never before. I'm going to make a Michael Thomas argument right here. I think in season-long redraft leagues, I don't care. I liked him with Taysom Hill at the helm. I liked it. So
Are we certain that Taysom Hill is going to be the quarterback next year?
I feel very confident. And your worst case scenario, which is great, is it's Jameis Winston. I mean, that's not a worst case. It's like a better scenario. So I'm going to make an argument for Michael Thomas there. But again, Justin Jefferson's right here. You have Allen Robinson. We're going to see where he lands. If he goes to a good location, it could be really helpful. But Justin Jefferson's right there. On the flip side of the Justin Jefferson argument, because I want to talk about aging veterans that maybe need a little bit of a downgrade, and I'm not going to kill him here, but Adam Thielen's kind of the reverse, right? He's that 32-year-old guy.
He'll be 31, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
He's getting a little up there. I still love Thielen's skill set, you know.
Yeah, but Adam Thielen is going to have an ADP similar or worse than last year. Last year, he was going in some of your sharper leagues, like in the late third round, and in a lot of, you know, your casual leagues or office leagues, he was going in like the fourth or fifth round. So I would assume his ADP is going to be similar to there. I'm happy to take him in like the fourth round. I mean, he's not
fine.
Yeah, like when you talk about aging players, let's talk about the number one offender. Like, this will be the first year that Calvin Ridley is ranked ahead of Julio Jones in, I would say, everybody's rankings. Where do you think Julio Jones, because he's the real test case for this. Odell Beckham, obviously, he's coming off the injury. So players like that, let's target in on Julio. Where do you think, not that where would you take him, because I already know the answer to that. Where do you think in most, your average league, where he's going to be drafted?
All right, so the donkeys in your average league, and I am calling them donkeys, because there are a bunch of fucking donkeys in your league. There's a reason why, if you're watching this show, you probably won your friends and family league like every year, right? Because those guys are donkeys.
And your sharper leagues. A lot of people told me they won some high competitive leagues that watch
the
show.
No, but I mean, you can't always win those because you're not up against a bunch of donkeys. You know, part of what we do is like, hey, when you're in your friends and family, you should win that. Like, you know, they're not. And they're the ones taking Julio with a top six or top seven WR pick. I have on Fantasy Pros, they have Julio Jones currently ranked WR eight. Okay, that means ahead of.
Are you sure you're looking at this year?
Yes, for 2021. They have him as WRA. And this is why I'm telling you, you think you're a sharp player, so you don't assume what's going to happen. The name Julio Jones carries cachet. If you didn't own him last year, you probably only remember the few good games he had. You didn't remember, and I've said this last season too. I've said this every year. This guy always has a hamstring injury. He's always hurt. Yes, when he's in the game, he does great, but he's always hurt because he's old. So these people didn't have him on their team. They don't remember that. They just know it's Julio Jones. How could I not take Julio Jones? He'll go in the top 12 in almost every league.
So you think he's a second? You think like in your average league, Julio Jones is still going to be like a second round pick?
Yes, he will be taken there. Yes, you should. You guys, we will not be taking Julio Jones. So he is the perfect example. A, the changing of the guard.
But answer the question then. So okay, you're in a league. Where's the breaking point? And I know it. You know, where do you think? I know you don't like to talk round. You like to talk what players are instead of, but where
it's
do you
just talk rounds when you're dealing with different league types?
Talk about a one quarterback league. You know where players generally go. Where do you think is the point where you're like, ah, screw it, I'll take Julio?
It's in like where Cortland Sutton and DJ Shark,
like the fifth, sixth round.
Yeah, that zone WR3. Julio Jones to me is the WR3 on your team next year. And if you're taking him as two or one, you're probably going to be disappointed. He's just out a lot. So
well, if he's your second wide receiver next year, you better have gone like Travis Kelce or like a premium or like a quarterback early type of build.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's so many that I would just take ahead of him that it's crazy. Tyler Boyd. I mean, like there's just so many that I would take ahead of him. Terry McLaurin all day. Not even a question. So, like, no. These guys,
I mean, no, you have it right. I think that he goes into the category now of players that certainly have upside but have risk. Like, think about where the market was drafting A.J. Green the last 2 years.
Now, he's a little better than A.J. Green. So, like...
Right, but that's but we agreed AJ Green was overpriced. I think Julio in that draft slot would be appropriately priced.
Yeah, because when you get full games out of Julio, he's fine. He's still very good. He's just not able to. There's too many years of the hamstring issues in a row, especially as he's aged.
Well, you draft Julio Jones, you're no longer expecting a 16 game healthy season. What you're expecting now is to get like 8 to 10 games of production, and you hope four of those are old school Julio Jones. I think that's a reasonable expectation. All right, like going back onto some of the names though of players that we're used to seeing in the first couple rounds that we may not anymore is I was taking a look today at Odell Beckham. Now let's assume he's on the Browns next year. We liked what we saw from Baker Mayfield down the stretch. We liked what we saw from the Browns down the stretch. It gives us promise. And I know it was, you know, when you took Odell Beckham in the third round this year, you thought, oh, what a value. Then he gets hurt again. Where's the breaking point? Where's the point where you're back in on Odell in your redraft leagues for 2021, Geek?
Man, it's almost impossible to even consider drafting Odell as a starter on your team at this point. He's just been bad for multiple years. I like him as a player, but I'm going to tell you again, if I'm trying to make, I'm getting to this kind of weird zone of, you know, a lot of these guys are off the T. Higgins is off the board, like that zone.
Right. So you're taking, in T. Higgins, you know, just from my early look at the ADP, he's going in like the fourth round. Okay. So, and he belongs up there, you know, with the other guys, presumably, you know, I could see him being a second round pick next year. So when you talk about T. Higgins,
there are so many great players that you're going to get late. It's hard to judge it right now because when you look at rankings, it's a little off, right? I'd have
T. Higgins. Rankings. You got to look at like the early drafts. There have been some drafts that have gone off. There is a little bit of anecdotal ADP. I told you I'm in a couple live drafts right now for actual coin. You know, it's some of them are dynasty format, but you know dynasty drafts tend to mirror redraft a little bit more than people think. You know,
You're getting sharper players who are, I disagree because again, you're getting really the only psychos who are drafting dynasty leagues now before the 2020 season has ended are hardcore, like, nuts. First of all, they're crazy. And number two,
see, I call them, by the way, I don't call them nuts. I call them passionate.
Passionate fans. That's a kind way of saying nutbags. But listen, I'm a nutbag for this shit too. So
I do that. I referee high school basketball. And when I get like fans harassing me, the other referees call them crazies. I always turn back to them and say, I admire your passion. And when I say that, it kind of disarms them a little bit.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So, I mean, I'm actually looking at some ADP data here. I'm trying to see, see if I can sort it.
Yeah, but so now let's talk about the locked in guys you feel good about that traditionally, you know, the guys that had good rookie seasons. There's players specifically at the running back position, Geek, that I think we agree on based on our last podcast, our 2021 early draft, guys like Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift.
I don't agree on J.K. Dobbins. I did not see enough out of Dobbins.
Okay. So, I mean, just given the running back landscape and the release of Mark Ingram, I think that Dobbins warrants a pick on the 2-3 turn, a top 25-30 selection. And
That's fair, but I don't see Dobbins, just to be clear, I don't see him as like a top 10 running back.
That is a top 10 running back, just so you know. Like when you get all the way up until like the mid third round, you're going to get top 10 running backs, given how many wide receivers, tight ends, and QBs are going to go there. Even someone like Cam Akers, who I know that you like as a top 10, top 12 running back, and for good reason, his ADP is still in the late third round. I mean, that's obviously going to move up. So when you talk about Dobbins, when you talk about the third round, you're still talking about a top 12 running back. We're not going to see the running back run of just the 10 of the first 12 players be running backs like we have in the past. There's actually going to be good value at running back this year based on how I'm forecasting the draft market. Players like that we thought were first-round picks last year, or the market thought was first-round picks, are coming at a value this year. You're going to get Austin Eckler at a discount. You're going to get Miles Sanders at a discount, and you're certainly going to get someone like Josh Jacobs at a discount. So those rookies, I think we all would take ahead of those guys.
You're referring to it as a discount. I'm referring to it as the correct value. So number one, I'm looking at, so here's
a discount versus 2020.
Yes. So to call it a discount, I think I think the players you get at a discount are the ones that are better than where you can draft them, the values, right? So again, without real hard ADP data, I'm looking at ranking systems at the moment. And again, if these are true, when I look at these ranking systems, I'm like, oh my God, there's free money to be made in best ball leagues super early and whatever you can do to take advantage of the mistakes. And part of that is, I mean, way too high evaluations. Zeke Elliott ranked sixth overall currently.
Stop there for a second. Zeke Elliott, the offensive line will presumably get a little bit more healthy next year. Okay, Dak Prescott, let's assume for a second that he comes back healthy and that he's the quarterback. Zeke Elliott looks like a guy that looks like a player that can be had at a discount. And saying that is that Zeke has always been a top three pick. You're probably going to be able to get him in the late first or middle of the second round in one quarterback leagues.
Totally great. It's middle of the second round. But there are just players that are getting just as much work, more work. Zeke Elliott's workload tailed off and towards the end of the season, and I don't think it's coming back to what it ever was. So I think that Zeke Elliott...
Do you put him in that same category as that we were talking about someone like Michael Thomas? Somebody that... I mean, like, where would you be comfortable drafting Zeke? I mean, even given... Let's assume all of those things you just said are continue on, that he's no longer a 24-touch player. He's more like an 18-touch player with goal line equity. All of the offensive line woes are mostly cured. Dak's back. Where would you be comfortable taking Zeke in 2021?
Yeah, towards the end of the second round.
You're not going to get him then. He's going to go in the late first round. He's going to go in the middle or early of the second round.
I want to ask you, should I really be that upset? Like, it's opportunity cost, right? If I'm at the top of the first round, if at the top of the first round I'm making a decision between Stephon Diggs and Zeke Elliott, I'm taking Stephon Diggs.
Talking about top of the first. We're talking about the bottom of the first round.
No, I mean the bottom of the first. The bottom of the first round. That's what I said. The bottom of the first round. I'm taking Diggs. Diggs. When it kind of comes around, there are wide receivers I like a lot more. Kelsey's floating around. Then you've got just other running backs that are really good that you can get later. Antonio Gibson, like I said, Cam Akers, David Montgomery's floating around. all these names of young, fresher players.
By the way, in that you're talking about, because those names you just talked about, you hit it right in the head. Those guys are available in like the late second, early third round. I'm in this dynasty startup right now, and it's a super flex format, and we'll get into super flex when we talk about. And I had to pass on all of those young running backs in that tier, Akers, Gibson, and Akers, Gibson, who else? Oh, and Montgomery, to take what I thought was the last of the high tier of QBs, and I'm regretting that. I'm already regretting that.
Yeah, it's tough. And I know, I think you said it was Russell Wilson, who's a guy that I'm telling you.
I already took Wilson in the second. It was Ryan Tannehill in the fourth that I took, and I passed on those running backs.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with it. It's really tough, Dynasty Superflex, because if you don't hit two quarterbacks early, you know, you're just going to be left with dog shit, and it's such a long-term position on a Superflex. It's
and tough. You know what? It actually ties back into our conversation we're having now about new faces. A player who, if you're drafting best ball or dynasty in January and February, someone that I've really zeroed in on, and I want to know if you can get behind this, is he's readily available in the sixth and seventh round. And I think Myles Gaskin is going to keep the starting running back job in Miami. And he seems almost as valuable as all those guys we're talking about in the top 12. Not as valuable, but almost as valuable. And he's probably like the RB30, RB28 in these early drafts. And I think when it's all said and done, he's probably going to be like the RB14.
How much better does he even look if Deshaun Watson becomes a Dolphin? So
forget about it.
I like Myles Gaskin quite a bit. He's in the same group, by the way. And no one gives a shit because his name is unexciting. But and he doesn't have draft capital. But yeah, I mean, if he stays the starting, there's no reason why Miami would go away from him.
Right. Yeah. He was good. Right. I mean, if anything, I could see them signing, you know, a Matt Breida replacement, like a player like that, someone that's just floating around the NFL. Even so,
I think they're happy with Salah Ahmed as well over there.
Yeah.
So I think that team is pretty well set at the running back position. Ahmed might be like a backup for Gaskin. Listen, get Ahmed on your team. If you get one, you want the other guy. But
I forgot. You know what? That's good because I'm in that draft right now, as I told you, and I forgot about Ahmed. That's a great, because you'll be able to get him in the 13th, 14th round. You know, no
make
problem.
Sure you get him late. He's a great little handcuff for this year. So that's a really good spot. But I don't think Miami's. But yeah, if their offense gets a little better. But here's the thing. One of the things I always talk about with young running backs is young quarterbacks really have a hard time throwing for touchdowns. Right? They're the red zone. Is the hardest part of the field for a young quarterback to master, and teams tend to want to protect them, so they'll run it more often than not near the goal line. So these younger quarterbacks, they tend to rely on the running back in the red. Like, you're not doing the Aaron Rodgers thing where he throws from the 2 yard line more often than they're going to try to run it. Young quarterback, they're going to run that football. So touchdowns should be there for Gaskin. Is he a 29 point, 36 point guy? No, but he's going to get a lot of work. He catches passes. He does it all. So I like a guy like that.
This is a strategy podcast, right? We always talk about how to win your league, not just the players to pick, but when to pick them, who to attack, what position groups. And if you're doing some of these early drafts and you see the running backs flying off the board and you already have one and you don't want to pass on these great wide receivers. You don't want to pass on Travis Kelce. What we're saying is right now, early on, that Myles Gaskin is a great parachute play, a good life preserver in the sixth round.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't be going that late. On that same note, aging veterans. So we talked about some young, exciting running backs that are moving their way up, right? And obviously you mentioned Gaskin, not really moving up, but a great guy. And some of the names I mentioned were, you know, Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, like how high, new coaching staff in Detroit. So let's talk about DeAndre Swift for a second.
Yep.
All the talent in the world. This guy showed that he is a complete running back, had nothing going on, no team around him this year. It was really just terrible.
DFS Army's RB1 heading, you know, after the draft. Everyone had, most people had Swift as, you know, the fourth running back. We stuck with it. You know, again, we got a lot wrong, but that one we got right.
He looks really, really good. So let me ask you, of the young group then, between DeAndre Swift, between
Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor. Oh, we didn't even mention. Where's Jonathan? We didn't even mention Jonathan Taylor. Cam Akers, Antonio Gibson, right? That was the group. Am I missing someone? Yeah.
Yeah. Here, there's six of them, right? Oh, James Robinson, too, if you want to count him in
James
that.
Robinson. Yeah. So look at the changing of the guard at the running back position, where I think four or five of those guys are going to be top 12 running back picks.
All right. Well, let's go through them, and then we'll each say we're just off the top of our head where you think you would draft them. All right. Jonathan Taylor. How about this? I'll set you up. Jonathan Taylor, top five overall fantasy pick in one QB league. In or out?
I'm in on that. I'm taking him ahead of Zeke Elliott.
Okay. All right. Well, you said Zeke Elliott's a second round pick. So,
yeah.
I mean, all right. Here we go. DeAndre Swift, top five running back, top 10 overall pick in fantasy leagues next year.
I am not on board with Swift as a top five pick.
You're really happy when you get Swift in the second round, right?
Yeah. I think you're going to get a good deal on him, and he'll be there in the second round. He still has the stigma of playing for the Lions, a team that doesn't emphasize a run. So, yes, coaching staff, we just don't know, but it's speculation.
Wait, hold on a second. We're doing rapid fire. We're doing a game here. You already in our way too early draft. You have James Robinson as pick 7 overall. Do you want to pull back on that and say he is not a first-round pick? Are you still in on James Robinson as a first-round pick?
No, I think you can move Robinson down more because I just don't think you need to take him that high. He's going to be there in the second round.
He might even be there in the third, just so you know. He might end up being there in the third.
It would be the steal of the draft. I have him ranked high, and I'm going to make sure I get him in the second round.
You'll get him. Anytime you want James Robinson in the second round, you'll get him, just so you know.
I will wind up getting him in the second round, hopefully in the middle of the second round. But I'm taking still James Robinson ahead of Joe Mixon, ahead of Jacobs.
Oh, yeah. But those guys, those guys are going in the fourth round right now. Okay.
Well, there we go.
Here we go. So let's just keep the rapid fire going here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is looking like a value in early drafts. He is going on at around pick 30. So not in the first two rounds. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, we all know the disappointment relative to expectation and ADP. Are you taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second round, the late second round? So say you took a running back early. Say you took Derrick Henry in the first round at pick 3. It comes back around to you. Are you comfortable taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire there?
No. I'm taking, again, I'm just going to tell you who I'm taking first. I'm taking Antonio Gibson. I'm taking Cam Akers. I'm taking David Montgomery. I'm taking James Robinson first. That whole group, possible other players that emerge, possible rookie that comes out. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire is somebody I'm going to actively avoid trying to draft unless I'm forced to. I mean, I think the point where I'm making a decision on Helaire is like where Chris Carson, assuming Chris Carson keeps his role, where Chris Carson is now on the board also. And it's like, he's so boring. Maybe I'll take my shot with Helaire making a second year jump of some sort, but he didn't show anything. And the Chiefs continue to show that a Chiefs running back, they're going to split the touches and they're not going to emphasize it enough to be very consistent. At least they weren't this past year. There's no reason to believe that will change next year. I expect more of the same from the Chiefs, and that doesn't lead to consistent great score. You'll have his breakout games. He'll have like the good games here or there, but it's just not consistent enough for me.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And there you have. There's a whole new crop of guys in from the running back position, and then we haven't even talked about yet, and we're not going to, incoming rookies. Maybe, you know, chances are that depending on landing spot, that either Travis Etienne or Najee Harris land in, you know, in that group too. So it'll be interesting to see where those guys end up in your redraft leagues.
Let me throw some aging veteran names at you at the running back. I think it's just as important to look at some of these guys. And again, you're saying things about where people are landing that are very sharp that I don't agree with. So I'm looking at rankings that are very different from what you're thinking because you are assuming that people are as sharp as these leagues that you're in, which I don't agree with. So I think the names naturally float up. Like check Yahoo ADPs. They're really different from what you're thinking. So I'm going to give you some names. And again, I'm going by sort of a generic kind of rankings tool that a lot of people use over at Fantasy Pros, right? I'm going off of this because I want to kind of get a feel for like what the masses are doing.
Yep.
Joe Mixon still showing as a top 12 running back, ranked 12th overall. To me, and I get Joe Mixon was good in college, and this is one of those things. The dude has not shown that he can do it at the NFL level.
And by the way, Joe Burrow likely not back for the first at least 5 games. I think 2 months. I think 8 games. But, you know, it's you should go into your draft assuming Joe Burrow is not there for September. Like that should be.
I really hope he recovers and plays the start of the season. It's such a shame if that does happen. And I have hope for Joe Burrow that that won't happen. But you're right. Usually the ACL is 12 months. But I have hope for Joe Burrow. Let's see what happens.
You could have hope for him, but there's no, he had his injury in like week 11 or was it week 9, something like that. Like if he's rushed back, you have to assume he's going to miss 4 games.
It's the disaster. The same thing we saw with Deebo Samuel. That's my back punk. Like, you know, right.
But point is that affects Joe Mixon in our judgment.
I mean, yeah, it's a bummer, but Joe Mixon, regardless, Joe Mixon has not shown that he can do it. At the NFL level, he's had years, not a young player. So to have him top 12, to take him ahead of some of these young guns, to me is absolutely absurd. Why would I take Joe Mixon ahead of James Robinson? James Robinson has the role. He's got a team with an exciting young quarterback, and he's got a workhorse role, and he showed great fantasy performance on a shitty-ass team. I will take that all day. A lot of the excuses for Mixon have always been, well, his team's not that good and blah, blah, blah. But hey, James Robinson's team was shit. And this guy was putting up 20, 25 fantasy points every week, catching passes. Really, really wildly different.
In the draft I'm in right now, James Robinson went 2 picks before Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I mean, just 2. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you're in a sharp league, and that's a dynasty league where they're valuing the youth. So you're... Again, your league is valuing youth, but that just tells you the fact that they went that close together tells you there's still a misread on Mixon. Why the fuck is Joe Mixon going that high, right? I'll give you another name, Josh Jacobs. He's ranked 14th in this rankings over on Fantasy Pros. Josh Jacobs? What the fuck has Josh Jacobs shown? His team was an offensive juggernaut this year. You could not have asked for more out of a Raiders offense than what you got. And what did Josh Jacobs do? Disappoint week after week. 1 was great. He disappointed week after week. They don't throw to him. So he is basically Marlon Mack, but being drafted like he's some sort of.
All right. Well, where would you take Jacobs? It's one thing to critique the Fantasy Pros ADP, but where, or the rankings, but where do you think is a good place? I mean, he is still going to be presumably getting the bulk of his team's carries. I think you could put 15 to 16 touches in Josh Jacobs' pocket every week. The offense is trending up, presumably.
I don't see any difference between Josh Jacobs and Chris Carson. They're the same guy.
Well, Chris Carson's going to be unsigned. We have to see where he lands.
Chris Carson's version today, right? I can't make future judgments. Like, but Chris Carson version today. Assuming Chris Carson was like the starting running back for the Seattle Seahawks, I'd want Jacobs ahead of him.
Yeah, so like the third round.
No, I think, yeah, I mean, third or fourth round, right?
Well, you're not going to get those. Starting running backs don't go in the fourth round of one QB drafts.
Antonio Gibson, I want ahead of him.
Yeah, but those guys, again, will all be third round picks.
Do you think Myles Gaskin is way worse than Josh Jacobs? Well,
again, you're circling back to my original point, is that Gaskin is not being ranked and appropriately thought of as he should be in that group. Like, Myles Gaskin should be at the bottom of that Antonio Gibson tier, but instead is being pushed 2 tiers down. He's not even being drafted. You know, he's being drafted in the 7th round of early ranks, early, you know, startup drafts. So,
you know, this is disgusting. They have him ranked. I mean, this is just crazy.
As what, RB 48, I'm guessing?
They have him at 31, which is level, like Tariq Cohen is the same as Myles Gaskin. Tariq Cohen.
Well, now you remember what I said. I said by draft season he should be around RB 14. Right now you can get him at RB 30, which is like the 6th or 7th round. He's the early value if you want to pass on some of those other guys to scoop up the wide receiver value.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. So when you have that hanging around, but I would take, you know, I kind of have them about the same. At least Myles Gaskin is catching a bunch of passes every week, whereas Josh Jacobs is just there for yardage and touchdowns. They don't throw to him, and he comes out of the game when the team is behind, and he's on a bad team. So, you know, the difference, one of the nice things about James Robinson was when his team was behind, he was still in the game playing. Like, they were not pulling him and bringing in the pass catcher. He was that guy. And they had a pass catcher on that team that they could have done it, but they didn't. They kept him in the game. So that's a real difference. Josh Jacobs, you got to drop him down. He's just a name that you remember, and you're like, oh, I got to take him. Here's this name staring at. That's like last year taking Todd Gurley. He was this name, or Melvin Gore. They were these names staring at
Melvin,
you.
Melvin Gordon at least produced for you. He was every week startable. Obviously, he had some issues, but I think that it was more like taking David Johnson. It was more like taking Todd Gurley, as you said.
Or Mark Ingram.
Yep.
Who went high. Like, that he did not fall that far. He went pretty high up. And it was just like a name that was attractive. And you're like, yeah, I remember he had a couple good games. And, you know, I need a running back now. But that's to me where Josh Jacobs is. You're not happy if you have – to me, I'm not happy if I wind up with Josh Jacobs as my running back. I'm like, oh, all right. You know, he's not a guy that I'm like excited to have, which means I'm fine with it, but I don't want to take him in the first three or four rounds. I'd rather take the exciting wide receivers. You know, philosophically, I like talking about guys actually who are names that are probably worse than what you think. It's just, I mean, Melvin Gordon's another one of those guys.
See, I still, now let's keep in mind for redraft, Melvin Gordon is likely to get suspended. I think it's safe to assume 2 to 3 games. In the beginning of the season for a DUI he had this year. They pushed off the next year. Now, he may not get suspended at all, but I think when you're drafting in best balls, you have to assume 2 or 3 games. That aside, I still think there's some utility left in him. That guy somehow, I'm not saying he's a great player, but he always comes through for fantasy. Like, he finds the end zone. Let's say they upgrade at QB. I don't know if that's going to happen. A lot of people want Matt Stafford to go there. That would be pretty cool. Or Matt Ryan.
Is Matt Ryan a free agent?
If he's not a free agent, like, the Falcons are basically, all you have to do is just take his contract on. He's got a big contract, and I think you can get him for a late round pick.
Is he cuttable?
Not sure, because he has some guaranteed money on there. I don't think so.
That Denver team would look really sexy with a real quarterback.
Right, just a compact quarterback.
Guys, Broncos fans, I'm going to be the voice of reality for a minute here. Drew Lock, he's not the answer. Guys, it's not going to work out. It's not. It's been fun. We had a good time. It's not working out. Okay? Little breakup. Got breakup.
Yeah.
Just
I mean,
friends going forward. I just want to be friends going forward with you, Drew Lock. I don't want to. No relate. We're just going to be friends. That's it.
And Drew Lock was a second round real NFL pick. He'll stay in the league as a backup. You know, I mean, he's not going
to
be
here to worry about millionaire players and their fucking career paths. But all I care about is he ain't a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's not going to be.
Matt Stafford would look very good on that team. I think that would be a good fit right there. I mean, who knows? We'll see what happens. But point was that all those skill players can presumably get better, and we tied it into Melvin Gordon, and I still think Melvin Gordon has some utility as an every week RB2. You'll be able to get him in the you're talking about starting running backs that you can get after the fourth round. Right. You'll be able to get him in the fifth round.
He's that guy that you take late. You're not happy with the pick. All right, let's talk about some other breakout stars, I believe, that are not going to show. They're not going to be reflected as much as they should. And I'm going to go to the wide receiver position because it's less obvious. And I got so many names, I don't even know where to start. And they're all ranked too low. So number one, Diontae Johnson. More than 10 targets every single... A pass dropper.
Assuming Ben Roethlisberger back or...
This is the issue, right? I'm assuming Ben Roethlisberger comes back, but Ben Roethlisberger is another year older. We've seen the second of the three dominoes from that draft class fall literally today as Philip Rivers retired. So Ben Roethlisberger is the last man standing from that draft class. Now, in fairness, Drew Brees made it a couple years more and Tom Brady's still in the league, so... Old guys can still be there. But Diontae Johnson, over 10 targets per game. Juju Smith-Schuster, a free agent, probably leaving. Probably going to be on a different team.
The Jets.
Maybe. I don't think he's the right fit. I think it's Allen Robinson. But nonetheless, Juju Smith-Schuster, because the Jets have Crowder. But Juju Smith-Schuster is probably leaving. Very talented young guy. So it'll be even more Deontay Johnson focused this upcoming season. He's not projecting as an elite wide receiver, but man, I'll take Deontay over Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin all day. All fucking day. It's not even close. As a matter of fact, you know where I think Deontay Johnson belongs? Probably right after Amari Cooper goes off the board. Deontay Johnson probably be my next pick. That's where I think he should be. So he is a breakout guy. Smash this upcoming season. No one's really thinking about him or talking about him, and it's kind of weird. To me, it's weird. And I'm going to give you another name. Now, this one is much more reliant, so I'm gonna accept. There's a few names here, but I'm going to accept this one, the Burrow situation. But Tyler Boyd.
Yep.
Tyler Boyd, under a Joe Burrow regime, was looking like a breakout super stud to me. You got rid of, and of course, T. Higgins as well. You got rid of A.J. Green now. He's gone. I don't even think he's come back next year. Paid too much, thinks too highly of himself, not worth it. So, and even if Green comes back, he just can't command the football anymore. He's not on top of his shit. So Tyler Boyd, again, I don't think we could do it for next year because of the Joe Burrow injury situation.
Where would you take Boyd?
I can't judge. I need to know if he's got a quarterback. With no quarterback, I'm not interested if at all. But if Burrow's going to be back, and I don't want a Burrow who's just back for week four.
Well, that's what's happening, man. Like, get that. Like, sink
I'm
that
not accepting
here.
It. No, I don't accept it.
You think Burrow's going to be back week one after like that? I think he tore up ACL and MCL.
I think that we saw Emmanuel Sanders come back from a torn Achilles.
Yeah, but you have to fade injury optimism with this kind of stuff.
Well, I'm not drafting based on. I'm just saying I'm not 100%. But if we're assuming that Joe Burrow will not be back for X number of weeks, and again, your philosophy is correct. When you're back week four, that means there's like a 3 week get your feet under you process. By the time he's playing well, week nine, you already lost your season and you've sent the money into your friends. So, and you've accepted your loss. So no, but overall long-term career, I love Tyler Boyd. I love what he was doing with Burrow before Burrow got hurt. I think he's a star. So some of these names, Will Fuller is another one. Will fucking Fuller.
Are you interested in Will Fuller or not interested?
Very interested in Will Fuller, depending on where he lands, depending on his situation. I'm much more interested in Will Fuller if, like, he's with, you know, Deshaun Watson or on a good situation. I think he's a very situational player, but
it's trendy to talk about Will Fuller signing in Green Bay. But I mean that seems like a really good match to me. And like you said, anywhere Deshaun Watson goes, you want to see Will Fuller with a quarterback that's taking shots down the field. I mean, that's not breaking news, right?
It's funny that it's trendy because it's so true. Like, people have identified the perfect landing spot for this guy. Like, imagine replacing Marquez Valdez-Scantling with Will fucking Fuller. Like, how much better does
we're having
mean?
Them both. You have them both on opposite
sides. Well, Valdez-Scantling at that point, you don't need him. I mean, you got Lazard in the slot, you got Fuller going deep, and you've got Davante Adams doing everything. So, like, yeah, Valdez-Scantling, fine, Equanimeous. They're all turds. Marquez Valdez-Scantling's a fucking turd. He drops passes. He's a choker. I don't think that changes.
You were just goofing on Equanimeous St. Brown. You know, his brother is one of the top receiver prospects coming out in this year's draft. Like, he's going to be drafted in the first two rounds of the real NFL draft. Like, he's going to be in the top 15 of our DFS Army wide receiver rankings.
Listen, when you look at Equanimeous St. Brown, physically, his size, his speed, it's great. He doesn't quite put it all together, but if his brother is that, but like has the skill to go along with that physicality, then sure. I mean, great. Like I said, Equanimeous St. Brown, when you physically look at him, you're like, ooh, that dude looks like a fucking, he looks like he's no joke, and he runs fast, and he's got the size, and he's big. He just, you know, there's a bit of a skill gap there, but you know, that's God-given talent and skill and whatever, and maybe the brother is a little bit better. So, you know, I don't think Equanimeous was drafted high. I think he was like a 6th or 7th.
Yeah, he was a super late pick. And again, you know, just because they're brothers doesn't mean they have to have similar skill.
No. So, but a lot of these guys, like another one, I'm taking a lot of these guys over names like Deontay Johnson or Tyler Lockett. Who are you taking first? How about Deontay Johnson? I'm throwing this over to you. Or Odell Beckham Jr. Like, are you taking Odell ahead of Deontay Johnson?
No, I mean, if we're assuming Ben Roethlisberger's back, Deontay Johnson definitely took the next step this year. He'll probably be like a fifth or sixth round wide receiver that I could see right around.
That's too low. In your PPR league, this guy was underrated all year. 10-plus targets every single game. All I want are targets. I want targets. Yeah.
He had some games he missed early on. He had a little bit of up and down. He did come through for you down the stretch, you know, when it was important. That recency bias will be strong. I think that there was a Deontay Johnson hive last year, and it only cemented. So, yeah, there'll be someone in your draft that is aggressive on him, and for good reason.
Let me throw this out there at you. Robert Woods or Deontay Johnson?
Yeah, Deontay Johnson. These aren't, you know. Hold
on. Let me throw a few more. Same team, Cooper Kupp or Deontay?
There's a problem with the Rams passing game, and there's no confidence in Jared Goff right now. So Deontay Johnson.
All right. Amari Cooper or Deontay?
Cooper. Cooper. Let's not get crazy. Amari Cooper in my rankings will be like wide receiver 8.
That's very high for Cooper, but I love Cooper. I love everything to do with Dak.
26 years old.
Yeah.
He didn't fall off. He wasn't supplanted by CeeDee Lamb. He was helped by CeeDee Lamb.
All right, let me throw this at you then. I'll give you something. I think one of the guys, actually, I'm going to tell you one guy who's dropping for me like a fucking lead balloon. That's my boy, Kenny Golladay. Kenny G.
Oh, yeah. He's a free agent, so we don't know where he's going to be.
He is lead balloon dropping for me.
I mean, where do you think the Lions re-sign him or franchise tag him or
whatever they do? Stay in the Lions, go somewhere else. This is a guy who can't stay healthy. It's too much. It's too many years of it. He did not look that dominant as a wide receiver when healthy, and now he can't stay healthy. This dude is still ranked number 12 overall on Fantasy Pros.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think those rankings are updated.
They are. It's 2021. These guys are just slow moving. And it's not even just that. It's, I'm telling you, we saw this last year, even in best ball drafts. We were drafting in March and April. And you're
right.
Like,
we saw Austin Eckler ranked in the third round, and we were taking him at pick 8 overall. Yep.
This is what I'm saying. I don't agree with you. I do think what will happen, though, is that as we hit July, August, September, especially August, some of that's finally going to shift. But the rankings as of today, man, Kenny Golladay, number 12 overall. Come on, man. Terry McLaurin, 14. Here's two names of aging veterans, not necessarily aging, but guys that I think should be dropping. How about Chris Godwin? Is he a top 12 guy?
Well, he's a free agent also. It's like, so let's assume, do you want to assume he
goes to the same team? Listen, I don't know. New teams. Okay, I like Chris Godwin on a new team, by the way. I love him.
No, I think I would take Mike Evans over him again this year. I think that Mike Evans has proven that he's got this real solid floor. He's still in the peak of his powers. Brady distributes the ball, and I love Chris Godwin. I mean, he finished in 2019. Chris Godwin finished as the wide receiver 2, right? And then he was drafted as such, and he obviously disappointed, finishing, I think, as like wide receiver 20. When you talk about, you know, points per game, I have to maybe a little bit better. But yeah, Chris Godwin will fall back into. Remember, there was a cluster of receivers last year that was like DJ Shark, AJ Brown. It was like I don't care which one I get. Obviously, it mattered if you got DK Metcalf or AJ Brown.
You're happy. You needed Brown. Or if you took Shark, you lost your league.
Right. If you it was Terry McLaurin, I think that's where Chris Godwin will fall. He'll fall into this cluster of wide receivers that go in the late third, all the way even to the end of the fourth round. So in there, if you've gone running back heavy and you need a wide receiver, I think that's where he'll end up landing. So why don't you pick one player, right? Well, you can each do this as we end the podcast, that you think right now, as you look at the rankings, you see him outside of the top 36. So that's outside of the top three rounds, that you just think is an absolute miss by the early market, and that you're going to be targeting, like similar to what I said about Myles Gaskin, in, you know, at ADP or a little bit aggressive on, that you think has not only just a real chance, but like a plausible path to beat value. So who's that player for you?
I've got a player like that. I'm just going to say I have a lot like this, but mm-hmm. we have a long offseason where we're going to be identifying these sleepers. We're going to be looking at and finding these guys. And as ADP shift, that'll change. A guy for me that is ranked way too low at the moment and should really potentially explode, could potentially and should potentially explode next season, is Chase Claypool. He's currently ranked 41st overall. Again, I love everything to do with the Pittsburgh passing offense as long as Ben Roethlisberger is at the helm. And Pittsburgh's one of these teams that they've been really good about replacing players. I mean, obviously they haven't had a need to replace a quarterback, but assuming Ben Roethlisberger remains at the helm and doesn't retire, give me Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster gone. Chase Claypool takes over as more, gets much more of the possession targets. There's generally 45 targets to go around in that offense when Roethlisberger's at the helm. And, you know, Deontay, 10 or 12 of them. That means Chase is going to be getting about 10 or 12 of those targets as well. I love Chase Claypool. You can get him as your WR4. He's going, you know where he's going? He's going after names like Devontae Parker, Jarvis Landry, Brandon Cooks is ahead of him. Just a lot of guys, Cortland Sutton, a lot of guys ahead of him that I just think you can get him and just be really, really happy as your WR3, and he could smash. I think he will smash. I don't think he could smash. I don't want to qualify it. He will smash. If you give me a full season, I don't want to qualify. Fuck that. Bowl call. Bowl call. Here's my bowl call. Chase Claypool, next year, a top 15 PPR wide receiver. This assumes a healthy season for Ben Roethlisberger. He goes outside of the top 36. He gets you top 15 scoring full season. What do you say season long says?
Yeah, I have no problem with it, especially if, you know, Juju's gone. I mean, maybe James Washington gets a few catches, but
Washington's fine, by the way.
Yeah, our heads must be aligned here because I have a similar setup for a player, and I just think that because he didn't come on till late, I liked what I saw, and I know that the Colts are going to have a new QB. Phillip Rivers retired today, but I think Michael Pittman's breakout in that playoff game of 5 catches for 90 yards, if he's available in the 7th round of drafts, which he's going to be, he's an auto click. That means 100% ownership for me in best ball. I assume that his name will get a little trendy. He'll get pushed up, and he'll be one of these guys that gets pushed up early, gets pushed down. When they sign a quarterback that they like, they'll be pushed back up, and then he'll fall back down. But if you get him anytime in the 7th or 8th round, I mean, that's auto click.
I'm totally fine with Michael Pittman. That's more of a breakout. Like, I will lock in Chase Claypool as, like, great play. Michael Pittman, much deeper sleeper play.
Remember,
he looked great. He has the size.
Yeah, but just remember, Claypool is going to be, like, a 4th, 5th round. He's going to be in that cluster last year that we just identified with all those hot names coming to the 2nd round. Michael Pittman should be in that cluster, but is not going to be. And, again, I guess it does.
I don't know that he's proven that he should be that. I mean, under Phillip Rivers, they did spread the football a lot.
But he's gone.
He's just not a guy that concentrates on one wide receiver. Actually, he's done it in his career, but he didn't do it here.
But
so,
I'm saying, it's like, let's assume, I mean, who's going to be the quarterback? Who do you think is going to be the quarterback? I mean,
I think it's going to be someone good. Like, I hope it's not Carson Wentz for the purpose of Colts fans. Sorry, guys. You don't want that. But,
there's going to be guys out there. I mean, if it's a veteran, you know, the Andy Dalton types are going to be available out there. They could draft somebody.
If it's that, then it's a disaster. I think if it's not a Jameis, if it's not somebody like very good who leaves their team,
it's Sam Darnold.
Yeah, you don't want a Sam Darnold. You don't want to be relying on a Sam Darnold helm team for anybody. Although, if anybody could fix Sam Darnold, It's Frank Reich. Like, yeah. I hope that Sam Darnold.
You think that's that outrageous? Like, I would say there's like, what, a 15% chance it's Sam Darnold, right?
I don't know how he winds up there. Like, unless the Jets are just dumping him off. Like, I'm still hoping that the Deshaun Watson thing. You know, the Jets are the top favored team to get Deshaun Watson right now. The Jets in Miami are even odds on Bovada to land Deshaun Watson.
You just asked a question. You said, how would the Colts get someone like Sam Darnold? What if the Colts say, I think the Colts are picking like 27th in the draft. What if they say, here's our 2nd round pick. Here's the 27th pick of the, or the 25th pick of the 2nd round.
All day.
That's the thing. You asked how Sam Darnold gets to the Colts. That is that's the easiest path right there. Just trade you a 2nd round pick.
If that were to happen, I would not be excited about Michael Pittman. I want, like, you want Matt Stafford over there. Like, you want, if Matt Stafford's on that team, if a proven thrower is on the team, then yeah. I mean, but
Matt Ryan,
I think it could be Jacoby Brissett, and you might end up with this like really kind of rough situation, man. It's so a little sketchy. That's a deep sleeper. How about Laviska Shenault from Jacksonville as a deep sleeper?
Yeah, well, I don't even know if he's that deep. I think he's going to be a trendy name.
Really?
Yeah, especially with all of the Jacksonville.
I can never get a fucking deep sleeper because for you, everybody's a trendy name. But your average person's like, who the fuck is Laviska Shenault?
Well,
like,
this is why. Let me explain why. And I think it's because all of the Jacksonville receivers, the Jacksonville is going to be a national team this year. They're going to be a team that everybody wants to see. They're going to get Monday night games. One, because Trevor Lawrence is going to get drafted there 1-1. He's the most exciting quarterback prospect we've seen since Andrew Luck. And then two is Urban Meyer was just hired as the coach. So they are now must-see TV. So if you're talking about a quarterback and an offensive-minded coach, who gets the boost? The fantasy trendy names are going to be the pass catchers. Who are the two best pass catchers on that team? Laviska Shenault, DJ Shark, and maybe even some of those tertiary guys like Keelan Cole, who's a free agent, by the way. He may not be there.
How do you like, you know, DJ Shark, no one's going to draft him this year. He just ruined your team last season.
But he'll be, he's interesting this year with Trevor Lawrence, don't you think?
He's definitely interesting, and you'll get him as a WR3. So let me throw this at you here as we kind of come to the conclusion. DJ Shark or Cortland Sutton?
Given the quarterback situation, uncertain in Denver and very certain in Jacksonville, that's DJ Shark for me.
All right, I'll throw a couple other DJ Shark or Odell Beckham.
So, and we're assuming
unknown team for Beckham.
Yeah, I think that's a great decision point right there. I prefer Shark because of the quarterback. I don't trust Baker as much, but yeah, I could see it going the other way because obviously Odell Beckham in his peak is a better player than DJ Shark.
Or we think he was for a minute. Right. I don't know.
We don't know when there's last couple years. There's some uncertainty now. Yep.
CD Lamb or DJ Shark?
CD Lamb. CD Lamb to me looked like the real deal. And I think he's already been functioning. He functioned with poor quarterback play, not as well as that he did with Dak. And he just looks the part, right? Don't you have just confidence in him? I mean, now you're talking about like a better receiver.
A lot of names on that Dallas team to feed, a lot of them. Right. Three wide receivers, all alphas. Tough.
Yeah, sure.
Tough to feed them all.
Yeah. So, well, I think that the bottom line.
T. Higgins.
Oh, without Shark. Right. Shark.
Oh, because no quarterback. No. You got to go Shark. Right. You got to go
but
Shark.
But I think this ties into all together what the theme of this podcast is. There is a changing of the guard at the top of our fantasy football drafts. It's an exciting year. That's why we're going to be doing this all off-season long, Geek. That's why 2021, it's basically we're wiping the slate clean of the Julio Joneses, the Michael Thomases. There's still a place for them in fantasy football, but there's new, exciting, and proven ascending stars are going to be at the top of our rankings. And our rankings this year are going to be up early. The 2021 DFS Army Fantasy Football Draft Kit, we plan to go live with that sometime in late February, early March. Without the rookies in there, we'll have our pre-draft rookie rankings, and then we're going to integrate the rookies into our draft. So we are already starting to form it. So if you're a fantasy football player and you've come to DFS Army traditionally for the DFS, you should continue to do that. But we are now building out what we think is a robust season-long fantasy football kit.
Yeah, look out for more improvements to the draft kit. We're going to make sure that you guys who stick with us with the Bowl Call podcast and with Cez and I and our season-long team here at DFS Army, we'll smash your leagues once again like you have the last few years. We love to see it. So I think we'll wrap it up right there, season-long Cez. And for Cez and myself, Kevin Allen, a.k.a. The Geek, this is the Bold Call Podcast. Remember to like and subscribe to this channel wherever you're watching this, iTunes, iPod, YouTube, wherever you are. If you smash a like button when you watch this video, it really helps us get the show out there, lets us know that you're watching, lets us know to do more of these. If you love fantasy football content year round, this is what we need you to do for us. It's not a big ask. It's a free
show. If you're getting value from this podcast, the way you could repay us is just by clicking that like, clicking that share, leave us a comment. We always comment back. And interact with us. Follow me on Twitter at Alan Cislowski. Follow The Geek at F Football Geek. And of course, follow our primary account at DFS Army. And you get all this great content, clips and tidbits that we tweet out through the year.
There we go, guys. Until next time, we are coming back with a special Super Bowl bets / parties / games / contests episode in between. Once we know, you know, in the 2 week gap between, do we have a 2 week gap this year between
yes.
the divisional yep. and the Super Bowl? So we'll kind of, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about, we're going to bring Statsational on the show. John, the master of games himself. We're going to talk about Super Bowl parties, games that you could do, contests, tournaments, boxes, all kinds of shit, bets, everything. So we've got a big one planned for the Super Bowl week. Make sure to check back in for that. You're going to like it. And again, we'll have John on. He's going to help you figure out how to win some of those bets. John somehow knows betting the coin flip. What's the more likely scenario? Like, I don't know how the fuck he knows, but he knows shit. He's got the coin weighted out. He's got it all. So we're going to have yep. all kinds of tips, tricks, and secrets. And I'll give you my recipes. Double fried chicken for your Super Bowl party. Extra crunchy.
Yeah. And if you, by the way, if you want to become a DFS Army VIP and hear, you know, you could talk to the geek all the time about his recipes.
Mostly recipes.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to talk about DFS once in a while, come to our Slack chat. Just sign up at dfsarmy.com. Use code SAYS right now. You're getting 10% off.
Season-long SAYS. Use promo code SAYS. That's right. Go sign up at DFS Army as a VIP. And I can't forget to mention Sports Bet Army. If you just like betting on sports, but you don't want to deal with making lineups, it's hard. I get it. It's hard. It's a lot of work putting a lineup together. If you go to Sports Bet Army, you just go to Sports Bet Army. You get pro sports bettors, real credible pros, not fucking Vegas Tony with the fire picks, real credible pros that track their bets over at Sports Bet Army that use analytical models to come up with the values on their bets, all of that. And they share it all with you. They tip their picks.
They even teach you, by the way, if you're just a beginner or a middle of the road better, and that's who you're talking to right now, yes, all that. But if you're like an advanced better, right? Say you're someone that's really deep into this, those guys are teaching the members how to make models.
Yeah, isn't that cool? They're teaching models. They're teaching the concepts of EV.
Right, but there's members over there that want to build their own models. This is what I thought was fascinating. And John and the crew over there are helping them build them. So they're asking them questions on the way. That's one of the resources over at Sports Bet Army. Like, if you want to take this to the next level, you
could. Not to mention an investments channel. Like, I just print cash following Ryan's stock picks. Like, it's crazy. So I spend more time on, like, you know, picking Ryan's brain, one of our coaches over at Sports Bet Army, about stock picks than anything else. Cause I'm like, shit, I'm printing more money than I'm winning on the bets. Stock tips. So basically it's a place, if you like to gamble and risk money and get action, we've got that for you over at Sports Bet Army. Again, use promo code SAYS over there. You get 10% off DFS Army VIPs. If you're currently subscribed at DFS Army, you get a massive discount for Sports Bet Army. So just DM any of us in Slack about that, and we'll get you a special code for DFS Army subscribers. And we will be back again. Super Bowl special episode next week or the week after, at some point in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. Don't have a date yet, but we will be back talking Super Bowl bets, Super Bowl props, everything we could talk about Super Bowl. And then, of course, for the rest of the offseason, talking fantasy football, talking the NFL draft. We never stop. Fantasy football is a year-round adventure. For myself, Kevin Allen, a.k.a. The Geek, and for my man, the Encyclopedia of Fantasy Football, season-long says himself, take care, everyone. We'll see you next time.
The best coaches in the game, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we